We are coming into our last week of Hebrews chapter 11. As we come to our passage, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've shown us your record of faith, the people that have been faithful to you throughout the centuries. We thank you for their example. And Lord, we thank you most of all for the example of Jesus, who always did your will. And Father, I pray that as we read your word, you would open our hearts and minds to what you want us to understand. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. So we're going to finish up chapter 11, and I have to keep going the next couple verses into chapter 12. And make sure when you read the Bible that you do that yourself, that you don't just read through the end of the chapter. Get the context, what came before, what comes after. Chapter 11 closes, and chapter 12 gives us a comparison of the Christian life like running a race. So I was excited about this message. It's up my alley. When Jesus uses farming analogies, I have to go ask people like Marcia, what is he talking about? You know, what do the animals do? How does it work when you put the plants in the ground? I don't know that stuff. But I do know running. And, you know, you can see a lot of analogies. Paul talks about finishing the race, the race of life, the race of faith. And as we think about this, I started to think about, you know, running and how it can be used as an analogy for life. And you can make a lot of mistakes when you're running a race. You can go the wrong way. You can eat too much or too little before the race, or drink too much water or drink too little before the race. You can make mistakes during the race. Just share one story with you, and I've shared some of these stories today with the guys at Men's Breakfast, but hopefully they don't remember and it'll seem new to you. I remember doing a race about 6 or 8 years ago. It was the Brian's Gift race that George and Judy put on here in town. 4.5 mile race, and at the start of the race, I remember seeing this guy show up at the start, and he was shorter, and he was really muscular. And, you know, the thing is about running a long-distance race, you don't worry about the muscular guys, right? They don't win. It's when someone shows up who's like a guy who's like 5'6", and tiny little arms, and he weighs 130 pounds that you go, uh-oh, there's the winner. I can pick out the winner before every race starts. There's the guy right there. He's going to win it. But this guy was really muscular. He looked like a wrestler, and he was pacing at the starting line. It looked like he was ready to go out and have a boxing match. He was just so fired up, and we got ready for the race, and he stood right in the front row. And usually you kind of position yourself where you think you might be in the mix. I usually do a couple, 2 or 3 rows back from the start, and he was down like this for a 4-mile race. And the gun went off, and he sprinted as fast as he could, and for 100 yards, he was in first place. And I was just interested in this guy. I was like, what's going to happen here? And so I was running. I got a little closer to him, a little closer to him. About a quarter mile in, he's doing this. Right? He can hardly breathe. I think he ended up walking at some point. I passed him, never saw him again. But he didn't get it. He didn't get how to do a long-distance race. But I think about the Christian life. It's long distance. It is a marathon. And sometimes I've heard of people who become new believers. And you know when someone becomes a new believer, how excited they are? And that's great. They should be excited. But I've also had people come back to me like 6 months later or a year later and say, I don't have the same feeling I had before. You see, that muscular guy was going all in adrenaline. It was all emotion. He was just fired up until he realized, whoa, this is what it's really like? And that's what I think comes over time, and you mature and you fit your faith, and you realize it's not always high emotion. You're not always on the mountaintop, but you learn how to get back there. It kind of goes like this over life. So I think, you know, as I'm giving you this race analogy, I know you're probably thinking, here he goes with the sports stuff again, but the author of Hebrews did it. So I'm just following the lead of the author of Hebrews. So just finishing up Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to begin with verse 39. And he's gone through all these lists of people who have faithfully served God. And it says in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. So here's the idea. The Old Testament people that we've read about, Noah and Abraham, and all these people that were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, they were looking ahead to the promise of the Messiah. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't have that picture in their mind. But then people from the New Testament and from our time, we can look back and see Jesus revealed. So we actually have it a little better than them. We see the Messiah. We know who he is. We've read about him. His Spirit is living in us. So we have that. But he's saying all of us together, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and all of us, we are together God's people, and we're all running this same race of faith together. And it goes on into chapter 12. So I'm just going to read the first three verses today of chapter 12. It says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And I'm just going to stop there for now. Okay, so here's the idea. You have a great cloud of witnesses. You have all these people that have run the race before you and finished. Okay, and this is an encouragement, because you can look at these people and say, these people did it. I can do it. These people were faithful and they finished the race. Then I can finish the race. They didn't get up. I'm sorry, they didn't give up. I'm not going to give up. So we can look at them and we can be encouraged by them. That's the purpose of Hebrews chapter 11, so that we can be encouraged by these people. And he talks about running this race and don't let anything get in the way. Well, what gets in the way? It says here that sin gets in the way. Sin entangles. Sin slows us down. Sin takes us off the path, gets us going in a different direction. Another race analogy I'll give to you. When I was a kid, my brother, who's 17 years older than me, got me into running races. We used to run road races together, and he used to run with me, beside me, during the races. And finally, I was about 8 or 10 years old, he said, "All right, I'm going to go ahead of you. I'm going to try to see if I, you know, how close I can get to the to win in this race, and you're just going to be on your own." And I said, "Okay." So it was a trail run. It was through the woods. So I was running this race, and I came to a fork in the road or in the trail, and there's no markings. There's no, or that I could see at first. There were no cones out. It was, certainly was not a race put on by the Simmons, because it would have been marked perfectly. We would have known exactly where to go if they had marked the course. But I actually stopped, and I looked, and I said, which way do I go? And I noticed a small ribbon around a tree to the left. So I said, "Okay, I'm going to go that way." And so I came around, and my dad was waiting at the finish line, and I came across the finish line, second place. There were like hundreds of adults in this thing. My brother was still lost in the woods, because all the runners that went ahead of me went to the right. They took the wrong path. They ended up lost, and I have not let my brother live that down, right? Ironically, at the race that we put on a couple months ago, his daughter beat me. So he got revenge over me on that one. And yes, the Allens are very competitive, if you hadn't noticed. But you take the wrong path. Even if you're running, even if you're trying hard, you're going in the wrong direction. That's what sin does to you. It takes you off the path. You can run as fast as you can, but if you're not going the right way, it doesn't matter. The right way is to follow Jesus. The right way is to stay focused on him. Don't let the temptations, the shiny objects in life, attract your attention so that you wander off in another direction. So sin keeps us from running the race the way we should. Another thing that keeps us from running the race is suffering. And we're going to continue reading about this, but you know, here's another great race analogy. If you've ever run a race, there is suffering in a race. There are hurting legs, hurting lungs, and nausea. That happens during a race. And you got to work yourself through it. I remember the first marathon I ran was the New York City Marathon. And I was in good shape. I had trained for it properly. And I was feeling good 16 miles in. I was ahead of my pace. I was feeling great. 18 or 20 miles, I hit what's called the wall. Your body runs out of what's called glycogen. Your body runs out of energy, basically. My legs cramped up. I could hardly even walk, let alone run. Slowed me way down. And I had had a friend who had run the New York Marathon the year before. And 200 yards from the finish line, he passed out. And he didn't finish. And he was in my mind. And my thought is, I'm going to finish. I'm going to get through this. I just thought about the finish line. I was feeling down. Everything in my body and my brain was telling me, lay down, just stop, be done with this. And I just thought about the finish line. You got to have a goal. The goal is more important than the pain. Think of the goal, don't think of the pain. I taught Caleb this lesson in a race that we did together a few years ago before he could beat me. I ran with him, and he said, "Dad, I got a cramp." And if you've ever run, sometimes you get a cramp in your shoulder, which is really weird, but it happens. And he said, "I got a cramp." I said, "You're going to be okay." I said, "See your buddy up there 50 yards ahead? Just focus on him. Let's try to catch up to him. Let's just focus on him." So he focused on him. He closed the back, till he finally caught him and passed him. And what I was trying to teach Caleb is focus on something else. Don't focus on your pain. And by the end of the race, the cramp was gone. But life gives you cramps. Life gives you pain. Life gives you suffering. Life gives you difficulty. The people in the early church, they had persecution. I mean, we get insulted or odd looks or made fun of if we're Christians in America. Christians in other parts of the world actually get persecuted or thrown in jail, beaten or killed in some cases. And that's what was happening in Bible times too. But what do we focus on? We focus on the finish. We focus on the goal. We focus on Jesus. And so when I said we're going to look around and look at other people and what they've done and they finished the race, and we say they finish, we can finish. But here's another way to think of it. God enabled them to finish. God can enable me to finish. And just continuing on in the passage, so the end of verse 1 says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Verse 2 begins, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So don't just think about the people that have gone before us. Let's think about Jesus and what he went through. He's the author or the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's the beginning and the end of our faith. And he showed us how to do it. We focus on him. We focus on who he is. We focus on what he did. We focus on the fact that he died so we could live. He went through the pain of the cross so that we could live. And so we focus on that. We're so thankful that he did that for us that we just want to live for him. We're not going to take shortcuts through life, go down the wrong path. Do you know that Jesus was offered a shortcut? Jesus was offered a shortcut by Satan. When Jesus was walking through the wilderness for those 40 days, Satan came up to him and tempted him 3 times. And one of the temptations was this. He showed him the kingdoms of the world, Satan did. And he said, "If you'll bow down to me, I'll give you all the kings of the world. Give it all to you." But that was actually a shortcut because Jesus does have all the kingdoms of the world. Because he lowered himself and became obedient to death, and God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name. Right? We know that. We know that the cross was necessary. Jesus wasn't going to take a shortcut around the cross to become the king. He was going to do it the way the Father set the plan out. He didn't take the easy way. We don't take the easy way. That's maturity, when you don't take the shortcut. Do you remember in the early 80s in the Boston Marathon, there was a woman named Rosie Ruiz who, she entered the marathon, she had her number on, and then partway through she got on the train. She took the T. She came in, she got off the train, she finished in first place. She got the crown. Do you remember her? Early 80s. And I was actually at that marathon with my brother. And you don't, but that's the shortcut. And you know what? It was found out because people came up afterwards and said, "Yeah, I saw this woman wearing like number 338 sitting on the tee during the marathon." And so she was found out. It was taken away. I think there might have been criminal charges for fraud or something like that. But she was definitely embarrassed by the whole thing. But think about that in terms of the Christian life. Don't take the shortcut. You're not going to fool Jesus. You're not going to fool him. He sees everything that you think, everything that you say, and everything that you do. Follow him. Follow him wholeheartedly. Finish the race. The woman that day, I don't remember who it was, but the woman who did it the right way and ran all 26.2 miles, she got the crown. If we follow Jesus the whole way, we get the crown. And that's actually in Revelation. It says we receive a victor's crown. when we finish the race. Jesus says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. So we focus on Jesus. One more example I'd like to give you from Scripture of somebody who finished the race, and it is Paul, and it's from 2 Corinthians 11. And Paul writes this, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Paul went through all that stuff as a missionary. How did he get through it? You might say to yourself, well, Paul's a tough dude. Okay, maybe. Maybe Paul is a tough dude. But how do you get through all of that? He got through it by focusing on Jesus, by having a faith that was centered on him, by willing to be abused for Jesus' sake so that he could finish the race. And he says that, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and now I await a crown of righteousness. He says that. That's true for us too. So we're all running this race of faith together. Don't let anything pull you aside. Don't let the pain of life stop you and say, this isn't even worth it. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. This is too hard. There's too much grief. There's too much pain. Don't let that get in the way of finishing the race and focusing on Jesus, because he will carry us through. He finished the race. He enables us to finish the race. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for finishing the race. I thank you that at the end you said it is finished, enabling us to come to you and believe in you and have eternal life through you. And Father, I pray that you would give us faithful hearts to follow Jesus every step of the way. Pray this in your mighty name. Amen.